happening? Hope all is well. First of all, Tom, my nephew Chris turned 5 yesterday. My brother is 45 today, and I'll do the trifecta tomorrow when I turn 44. So we bust them all together. Bust it all together. You know, Tom, we've had the folks from ProPublica on before, and they have this amazing story. First of all, ProPublica is a nonprofit media reporting institution, and they have this great story that deals with the Fair Housing Act and how the federal government, frankly, the president, could literally desegregate in many ways these housing communities, and they have the power, but the federal government really won't do it. And so Nicole Hannah-Jones is the reporter. And it's an amazing story that I really wasn't even aware of. So Nicole, so as a result of the fair housing laws, when we look at housing patterns across this country, we still have them really based upon race. A lot of places that are all white, a lot of places that are all black or all Hispanic. So HUD and even the president has the power to literally order it from the moment this law was passed. But presidents really haven't decided to use that power, correct?
That's correct.
So what's the deal here? What's the holdup here to break up these race-based housing patterns?
Well, starting back when the act was passed in 1968, most of us understand that the act outlawed discrimination. But what most of us didn't know, and I didn't know until I started digging into this about a year ago, that the act also ordered the federal government to use its powers and mostly its finances to break apart the segregation that it helped create. But what we found is pretty much starting with the Nixon administration all the way up into the current administration, no president has been willing to use the billions of dollars that HUD pumps into very segregated communities to force those communities to integrate. And it's just because residential segregation has never been popular and is pretty much an issue without a political home.
Now, residential segregation also is a critical issue because our school systems are really predicated on where people live.
That's absolutely right. Pretty much every inequity, racial inequity in our society can be traced to residential segregation. There's decades of studies that show everything from access to health care, infant mortality rates, unemployment rates, and kind of most devastating, segregated and inferior schools are all linked to residential patterns because you tend to go to schools within your neighborhood. And if your neighborhoods are segregated, then your schools are segregated.
And so this whole battle in terms of breaking up these segregated communities, politics plays a large role in it as well, because, again, if you decide to do that, then you're, you know, frankly, raising a really hot button issue that might tick off local politicians.
That's exactly right. In the second part of my series, I wrote about Westchester County, New York, which is a very affluent, very liberal county. They signed a settlement to integrate some of the whitest communities, and the Obama administration has been very reticent to strongly enforce that court order, even in a liberal county. When local politicians kind of resist integration, it's just not a popular issue, and we've seen that Republican and Democratic administrations pretty much back down in the face of this resistance.
Well, I'll tell you what, Nicole, I think it's a really interesting story. I mean, again, I didn't realize that the federal government had the power to that extent to actually force these changes. And so I just found it to be a fascinating read. Folks can go to ProPublica, PUBLICA.org to check the story out. Nicole, we certainly appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
She's just a girl and she's on fire.